Pleasure to be with you here this morning. It's always a joy to be able to share to Pine Grove. I've been here a number of times over the years, and actually had an opportunity to do your retreat a couple of years ago. thanks, Les, for that. One thing I would like to do just before I begin is actually tomorrow is a very important day for our country. We have an opportunity to vote, and we have an opportunity to go and to say what it is that we would like our future leaders to do and to accomplish. And it's also something that to which has been, if you've been following any of the election, which I'm sure you have no choice but to, it also has not been pretty at times. So I would like us, I'm going to pray and just ask that you would join me in that what God wants done would be done. And who it is and who God lays on your heart to vote for, you will know that you are doing what God desires you to do. And that you would, if you are of voting age, please vote. I often say this to people. If they start to complain about the government, I'm like, did you vote? No, then I'm not listening to you. If you would like to complain in future days, then vote. Then you can complain and have discourse. But if you do not vote, then you have no complaints. So let me just pray. Father, you are a great God. And we know that nothing ever happens without your will. And Lord, we pray that as we enter into this election time tomorrow, Lord, that you would be sovereign, that your will would be done, and God, the leaders that we would have be elected by us, the Canadian people, would know that they also have a higher authority that they answer to. And God, may you guide and give us wisdom. May you bring our country together. Father, may each one of us do what we can to bring the country together. And Father, may we know that whatever transpires, that you are at work, and that, Father, your work never stops when an election is over, but it's just beginning. And so, God, may we be just as committed to praying for those who are elected tomorrow, the next day, and the next day, as we are this very moment. So, Father, we just ask your blessing, your wisdom, your guidance, your discernment, and we ask and pray these things, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, as I said, it's great to be with you here this morning. I work for Athletes in Action, which is a Christian sports ministry, and I have the opportunity through my job to work as the chaplain of the Ottawa Fury, the Ottawa Red Blacks, and the Ottawa 67s. Now, for those of you who love sports, you're like, great, that's awesome. He might say something that's rather entertaining to me. For those of you who have no interest in sports whatsoever, you think, oh boy, here we go. I think that one of the things that I'm kind of excited about potentially a little bit emotional as we go through this talk this morning is I want to share a little bit about my journey this past year and a half and how it pertains to us and to what we've been called to and to what God wants to do here in our world and how he wants to use each one of you in what he desires to see come about in people's lives. This is my first time preaching since December 31st, 2017. Because in February of 2018, I had a stroke. And I'm told it could have killed me. At first, it was deemed cryptic, meaning they could not find a cause. And I spent the better part of 2018 visiting literally every hospital in Ottawa to have tests done. I had 10 weeks of speech therapy to learn how to use my words again and how to express myself. And it was discovered through the series of tests that I was born with a faulty heart valve. And that when I was born, the valve should have closed and sealed, and instead it stayed open. And they figured that that's how I had the stroke. And so in November of 2018, I had a heart procedure at the Heart Institute to permanently close it. I was asked to come and share a little bit of how to engage your world. But I found that an interesting question, because what do you do at times when your world has shifted so much that you don't recognize yourself? And maybe you felt, and maybe you do feel, a little bit like I do, tongue-tied, insecure, forgetful, concerned about how you come across, not sure what to say or what even the answer is to the questions that you're asked. And there's a passage that I want to share with you this morning, and it's a passage in 2 Corinthians, and in it, Paul is talking about the thorn in his flesh and how he's had to minister with this reality. And he reflects on the words of Christ to him. And so if you have a Bible and like to turn to it, it's a very short passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. But he said to me, so three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. And this passage has spoken to me very, very loudly this past year and a half, because therein lay the message and the answer that my heart needed to hear. God's grace is always sufficient, always, and you can never, ever test its limits. And God's power through his Holy Spirit is made perfect when we feel we can do nothing apart from God. And so what do you do when you feel like you don't have anything to offer God? And, you know, I've thought a lot about this, and I know that certainly there are people in the Bible who felt this way. You know, you think about Moses, and Moses said, hey, listen, I've got a speech impediment. I can't be your mouthpiece. There's not a chance. Like, you know, have you heard me? Like, there's lots of reasons. David, his birth order should have absolutely rejected him right then and there. Because, I mean, he was out tending sheep while everyone else was being looked over for who should be the king. The Apostle Paul, well, he played for the wrong team. I mean, you're going to represent God, but you've been trying to kill Christians, and you've been celebrating that reality. So how could God possibly use you? Or my favorite, Peter, Mr. Act First, Think Later. I often think that if my parents were to rename me nowadays, they would probably name me Peter, because that's my tendency, absolutely, to act first and then, oh, wait, maybe that wasn't a good idea. Oh, well, too late now. But you know what? All of these people in the Bible, God had this great plan and this great vision and this great perspective and this great reality in which he desired to use them. And there wasn't a time or a place to which they knew or understood what God wanted to do. There wasn't a time and place to which they fully comprehended what God was going to do. But instead, in each and every situation, in each and every context, in each and every reality, they said, okay, God, like, all I've got is this. And God said, perfect, because that's all I need. And because of that, he was able to do great things. There are no limits to significance when it comes to God. When he wants to use you, you will be used. And God has a habit of taking unrefined people who are centered in him versus people who have it all together and wonder where God's at. You know, I think about my realities over this past year and a half, and it's a very interesting thing, because for 21 years, I've been in ministry for 23 years, so for 21 years, there were just things that I just showed up and did. I mean, whether it was, you know, speaking, whether it was Bible studies, whether it was interacting with people, and so there was lots of opportunity and lots of places in which I'm like, I got this. Piece of cake, no problem. You know, sometimes I would still get nervous. I would absolutely get nervous. But, you know, it wasn't a big deal because I knew that I had the ability in me to do what God called me to do. And it was great and it was awesome. And there were lots of great moments and opportunities and things that I've been a part of and experiences and realities to which I've been able to see God at work and see him influence me to influence other people. And so it's just been such a great reality to be a part of. But then all of a sudden, I couldn't do it anymore. I would sit across from people, and I'd be concentrating on the one thing they said to try and comprehend what they said. And I would have a thought, and my thought was, okay, the correct response would be this. This is how you should respond. But then the way I would normally respond hit a wall, and there wasn't anything there. And I would panic because what am I going to do? I would try and think about things I should think about or what I should say, and I don't have anything. And someone's looking at me with a blank face and going, why don't you have an answer? And I would struggle. And I couldn't understand, I couldn't comprehend, because for my entire life, for 44 years of my life, I'd always done things this way. I'd always thought this way. I've always known that when I needed words to say, ideas to have, etc., I thought this way. But all of a sudden, when I thought that way, there was nothing there. And so I would panic, like I said, because it would be, wait a minute, what do you mean there's nothing there? There should be something there. Something needs to be there. There has to be something there. And so I'm stubborn. So I would push. There has to be something there. Something's going to be there. There has to be something there. And instead, I just felt exasperation, frustration, and loss because there was nothing there. And the plum-sized hole that I have in my brain at times seems so much bigger and so much more massive because of the fact that I'm a speaker. I speak about God to people. What good is a speaker who can't speak? What does he do when there's nothing that he has to offer anyone? It was scary. It was very, very, very unfamiliar. I couldn't remember scripture. I couldn't even remember people's names. I would see players and what have you, and I'd be like, hey, guy. And then as they walk past, just shake my head like, see, because when you're an athlete, I don't know if you know this, but when you're an athlete, you have a mindset. And the mindset for most athletes actually tends to carry them very well. And it kind of goes something like this. If there's something that you can't do, or if there's something you would like to do better, then you do it, and you repetitiously do it, and you continue to do it, and you do it over and over and over. And as you do it over and over and over, you get better. Hey, who knew? And so there's lots of times and lots of realities in which, I mean, that's why athletes have practice, right? They practice all the time. And why? Why do they practice? Practices are way more intense and way more, there are so many more realities in practice that people have so that when they come to a game, they're actually, it's easy for them. Because what they've been doing in practice is so much harder than versus a game. So they know exactly how they should do it. They know what they should do. And their bodies naturally respond to what it is that they're asking them to do. And they don't even have to think about it. They just do. So I thought, well, this is exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to practice. And I'm going to get my words back. I'm going to be able to think. I'm going to be able to do. And I'm going to actually be able to say to anyone anything I would like to. That's what I'm going to do. And so I practiced. And I went out. And again, and again, and again. And you know what the craziest thing happened? I failed. again and again and again. And then every so often, there would be a thought or an idea or a concept that would make it through. Like, hey, I've arrived. Only to the very next time, try and fail again. And I think that's a lot like us at times. It's a lot like how we view our life in Christ and how we feel that, you know what, there are ways in which we feel disqualified. Because, yeah, okay, God, I love you, and I want your heart for me, and I want to tell other people about you. But, you know, so I'll tell you what, I'll take this athletic mindset, and I'll approach it that way. So I'm going to try. And, hey, I'm going to keep trying. And sometimes we have success, and sometimes we have failure, and then sometimes we just feel like, what is happening? The Apostle Paul said it well, right? I don't understand myself. The things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, or the things I do want to do, I don't do. And so we find ourselves in this place to which we wonder, what and how does God want to use me? How can he use me? How can he use you? How can he use you? What way, what, how possibly could God choose me and want to use me when all I have is failure? My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Not my power is, hey, it's pretty good. Not my power is like, eh, it's pretty awesome. My power is made perfect in weakness. Now, most of us, if you're anything like me, would not choose weakness. because, I mean, really, like, who wants to be weak? But I've been forced to examine this reality and this perspective. Because there were times I couldn't even remember who my wife was. And there are still constant scenarios. I forget stuff all the time now. I just lost a watch on Friday because who knows? I have no idea where it is. Now, for the most part, it's very good. Most of the things I lose or can't remember are insignificant. The watch is probably the most expensive one, so that's an ouch. But, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, before, it's amazing how your mind works, because before I used to get so frustrated and exasperated, and now it's just a, yep, I forgot that, or I forgot this, or I forgot that. And it's funny, because the way your mind works too is that, well, hold on a minute. This is a weakness, forgetfulness. Like, well, yes, but I don't really have a choice. But actually, in my forgetfulness, I recognize that, you know what, who and what I am is in God's hands. And I never left God's hands. And so who and what I am and who and what God has called me to and asked me to do will always continue to be in his hands. I was reminded again of that truth this week when I was attending a leadership summit. One of the speakers said this, and I love it, right? The light can only shine through cracked vessels. I am a cracked vessel. Tell you, I'm like a globe. Bing! You know, it's awesome. But I don't think any of us would ever choose to be a cracked vessel, though. But I think it's very, very interesting, because I think at times when we deny who and what we are, we also deny God's power in our lives. See, I had nothing to offer. Or so I thought. And then the craziest, most bizarre thing started to happen. I do something with the guys called Why Wednesday. And so all three teams, we have our Bible studies, most of them on Wednesday. If it happens to be a Thursday, then it becomes Thoughtful Thursdays. What it is that the guys are allowed to bring any question they have about anything, as long as it has something, some sort of something to do with faith. And so for a year, I didn't do it at all because I was terrified. My goodness gracious, I can't even get names in my Bible study correct, let alone someone asking me a question way out of left field. But towards the end of last year, I started to incorporate it and have actually been able to do it for the most part this year. And so during Y Wednesdays, guys would ask questions. And the typical stall tactic, right? I would say, okay, well, what do you guys think? And then hope that maybe someone answered it close enough. Like, yeah, what he said. Yep, that's good. And then I would sometimes write down thoughts and ideas. But here's the craziest, most amazing, phenomenal, fantastic thing. Is that I would share what came to mind, trusting that God would fill in the blanks. And it's so amazing and so phenomenal and so fantastic that guys would be like, Paul, that was awesome. No, it wasn't. Awesome was who I used to be. This was not awesome. No, Paul, it was amazing. It was fantastic. Like, God spoke to me here, and he said this over here, and it was just so amazing what you said there. And I'm like, no. No, because in my head, I'm like, this is horrible. This is brutal. I can't even believe. There's so many truths I would like to share. There's so many things I know are in my head that are not coming out, and I can't believe this. And it's like, oh, my goodness, I'm such a disgrace. And I'm a fraud. What is happening here right now? And guys are like, Paul, that was the most amazing Bible study or most amazing time I've ever had. See, but the thing is that I felt like I'd failed. That God had given me an opportunity, and I couldn't step into it. But instead, what God was saying to me was like, Paul, you ridiculous moron. All I've ever asked you to do is just show up. I'll take care of everything else. And those times in which you thought you were being super, super, super amazing, you were, but that was me. And those times in which you think I've failed and I haven't been able to say anything and my goodness, this is so brutal and this is so horrible and guys were profoundly impacted, that was also me. And I realized that, my goodness, here I am and have been all this time straining and striving to be someone that I used to be. When all along God was like, hey, wherever you are, I am there. And so therefore, all I ever ask you to be is who you are as you step out and trust me. You know, we all have fears and insecurities. Or maybe I'm just the only one in this room that does. And truth be told, I was terrified this morning. Because this was, like I said, the first time that I've done this in almost 2 years. And I don't know what you're passionate about. For me, it's telling people about Jesus. But that went through a bit of a juggle in my head, because how can you be passionate about telling people about Jesus when you can't talk? And there was a point in time to which, for many weeks and months, I thought, what good am I? Because the thing I'm most passionate about, I can't do. But what things do you say that you are, that no one else does or has? I love the fact that years ago I was told that the only shoes I ever have to fill are my own. And I stood and stand in that truth and in that reality. You know, I think biblical courses and training are very, very good. but I also think that people will always connect with a person who's real versus a person who has all the answers. And so being true to who you are, to who God has called you to be, to being in a place and space to which you think, I don't have all the answers. I have one answer. Then good. Then tell people about that answer. As I said, guys would nod and shake their heads like there was some deep, profound truth that I was saying. And I thought that, you know, how could this possibly be? And then again, God brings this scripture to mind, right? My grace is sufficient. My power is made perfect in weakness. And then I was reminded in 1 Peter 3:15, it says this, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. And it's so crazy and strange and weird at the same time when you're trying to fumble out words. When you're trying to say, well, guys would ask me, so Paul, like, what is it about you? I'm like, well, you know, like God, like Jesus, his son, loves us, died. And I'm going, what is going on? But when it comes to serving God, less is actually more. See, because when we rest in the truth that God's power is made perfect in our weakness, we don't have to perform. We don't have to be anyone other than who God has created you to be. And there are things that you do that only you can do. There are roles that you are in that only you can fill. And there are jobs that you do that only you can do. And there are people that you interact with that only you interact with. And it's being faithful to say, God, I don't know what I should say. I don't know what it is I should do. But I'm going to trust that what you want to say and what you want to do will be what happens if I will just step out and share my faith. Step out and show your grace. Step out and show your kindness. Step out and love people. It's been a very interesting year with the three teams I work with. I've been a number of years ago, I discovered or kind of embraced the truth that I don't take any credit when the team's doing well, because then I can avoid all the blame when they're not. With the Red Blacks, we are struggling, to say the least. We just have two games left in a 3-win season. And so it has not at all gone the way that management nor the team expected. With the 67s, we're a growing team. We're a younger team this year, and we had a great run last year making it all the way to the conference final. But we're showing growing pains this year. And with the Fury, we have our first playoff game on Wednesday. And so there are different discrepancies and different realities to which each team is doing. But one of the most fascinating things, all right, that I love through all of this is that through this past year and a half, you can become very self-centered. And my wife's probably, and so there are lots of things that I have to lift my head up at times to notice. But one of the crazy, crazy, crazy things is that, you know what? God's moving on these teams. And God's not doing it because of me. He's doing it despite me. I'll give you a great example. We had a Bible study with the 67s last week. We had 14 players out. There's only 21 on the team. All right, with the Fury, I meet regularly for Bible study with 12 players. And then I meet with the head coach before every game. And so while the players are on the field, the coach and I are sitting in his office talking about the scripture I gave him earlier in the week and what it says and what God is saying and what truth he can apply to his life. And with the Red Blacks, I have 12 guys also coming to weekly Bible study and 18 coming to pregame chapel. I think, my goodness. Can you imagine if I could actually speak? And I am convinced that God sits there at times and just shakes his head and has a belly laugh at the way in which we can get caught up in the way in which we think, well, hold on, I can't do this, I can't do that. And God's like, okay, hold on, I've heard it all. You forget, I'm God, you're not. And when we stop and we rest in that, we go, all right. And you know what the thing is? It's actually freeing. It actually is freeing. And it's a new reality, for sure, for me. And it's a new situation and a new scenario that I've stepped into. But at the same token, I see what God is doing. And the best part is I have this opportunity to see God at work every day. And I get to see what he's doing, and I get to understand what he's doing, and I just think, oh my goodness, you're using me. Just like he wants to use you. Because you don't know, you never understand. 1 week after I had the stroke, and probably 2.5 weeks after I, no. Well, I went back to work like 3 weeks after I had the stroke. Not a good idea. But our video coordinator's father had a stroke. And he was absolutely lost. His to have his father walk through that. And I have, through this past year and a half, regularly chatted with Colin, asking him, how's your dad doing? And when he sees me, he's like, oh, you know. You understand. There's another fellow that I meet with quasi-regularly, and he's a friend of a friend. He's a fellow stroke survivor. And it's amazing because he and I chat all the time about our realities. And in that moment, you just feel like, oh, I've got a kindred spirit. Somebody who just gets it. Somebody who just understands. Someone who knows every nuance and every situation and every circumstance of what it is that I'm walking through, wrestling through, and trying to be. And yet it's interesting because he's wrestled with suicide. And as he's been sharing that with me, I've been chatting with him a lot just via Messenger over this past 6 or 7 weeks, just encouraging him, challenging him, and he's been doing really well. And it's amazing because I would never have chosen this for me. I never would have said that, hey, you know what, 44, why don't we just have a stroke, just cuts. And yet I also realize that there are people that I have been strategically and deliberately placed in their lives with whatever limitations I come with that I have the opportunity to speak to bless, and to encourage. And this is a fascinating thing, right? Is that all God asks us to do is just take a step. You think, yeah, but God, hold on a minute. I'm not prepared. I'm not ready. I don't have this training. I'm not ready for this. God says, no, just take a step. Yeah, but God, I'm only here. Then God says, just move that way then. Just take this step. That's all I'm asking. I'm not asking you to take step number 447. I'm asking you to take one. And we take this one, and we think, what am I doing? How possibly am I going to intersect and affect change into my world. And God goes, watch this. And there are people that we come across and we see in our vision and we recognize that immediately they were always there, but we just didn't see them. Why? Because we didn't take that step out. We didn't choose to engage them. We didn't desire or even know or even feel that we could. And yet when we step out, we see that God was always there and that these people are blessed because of their interactions with us. Why? Not because we have it all together, but because there's a chance and an opportunity for us to give the reason for the hope that we have. And because God's power is made perfect in our weakness. And so maybe you feel like Moses, fearing that you have no words. What can I say? What possibly could I say? Maybe you feel that because of your situation, domestic realities, or financial situations, that you have nothing to offer anyone. Well, if that's you or where you think you might be, I would like to offer you some advice and some thoughts. I've been brought to the lowest of lows. I've struggled with who I am, my mental faculties, my words, my emotions. Yet God has used me. He continues to use me because God's power is made perfect in my weakness. And so it doesn't matter if you feel significant. You are. It doesn't matter if you feel that you can do it. You can. It doesn't matter if you feel prepared. You are. Because God will go before you. God will speak through you. And the most amazing, amazing, amazing thing is that you will be blessed because of your reaching out to other people. He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in my weakness." Father, I thank you, Lord, that Father, I thank you for the journey that you have each one of us on. I thank you, Lord, that it doesn't matter whether we feel significant. It doesn't matter if we feel that we can do what it is that you've called us to because of who you are, because of your strength, because of your power, because of your Holy Spirit. You come alongside of us. You lift us up. You give us an identity. You know what it is. You know the plans that you have for us. You know what our future looks like. You know what it is that you want us to do. And so, God, all you ever do, all you ever ask us to trust you in is to take that very next step. To recognize, Lord, that you are at work, that you are in the business of changing lives, that, God, you desire to bring about salvation, you desire to bring about hope, you desire to bring about restoration, you desire to bring about peace and prosperity and goodness and kindness. And so, God, all you ever ask us to do is to take that next step, to trust you, to see what it is that you desire to do in the lives of people. And, Lord, through that, because of that, you use us to see great change. And Lord, we are blessed because of it. I pray, Father, for the people here this morning, for my brothers and sisters, God, who might not feel significant, who might feel, yes, but I've got this weakness. You don't understand this. You don't understand this reality. Father, there are times in which, in situations which I do not understand. I will fully admit that. But God, you do understand. And you are greater and bigger and stronger and mightier, Lord, than any situation or circumstance that they might find themselves in. So, Father, do not allow them to think that that disqualifies them. Do not allow them to think, Lord, that that keeps them away from being able to share what it is that you have done in their lives. Do not allow them to think that they are insignificant. Because your power is made perfect in our weakness. And so, God, may we cling to that truth. May it drive us. May it cause us to rise up and to see, God, that great are you, Lord. And in you do we trust. And so, Father, I pray that that would be our perspective. I pray, Lord, that that would be our peace. And Lord, I pray that that would be our vision each and every day as we stay firmly surrendered to you, trusting what it is that you desire to do, and seeing the great, mighty, and awesome things that only you can do. We thank you, Father, for this time and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.